And on the line with me right now, I have Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler from the University of Akron. He is an expert in all things national security. And one of the things that he has to talk to us about today is his prediction that Iran will see some turmoil in the next year, but ultimately pretty much stay status quo. Is that good for U.S. security? Is that bad for U.S. security? What do you think, Dr. Kaltenthaler?
Well, it's actually bad for U.S. security. It's bad for U.S. security because of a couple of things. One, it makes it really impossible to negotiate with Iran in any way. And there's some issues that really the United States needs to talk to Iran about to try to keep stability in the region. Definitely the nuclear deal is off the table. That's not going to be discussed. But there have been some things that have been discussed other than that, kind of behind closed doors, that just now the United States is not going to enter into conversations with this regime as it, you know, continues to crack down on the protesters and the people who really have very valid reasons for going to the street because of the way they're being abused by the regime. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is this regime feels very much under pressure, not just from its domestic opposition, but also externally. And one of the things that we have to worry about, and I unfortunately predict we'll see in the next coming year, is that Iran will get more aggressive within the region. And then that'll be a problem for the United States. Part of that's to keep minds off of what's going on domestically. And part of it is that this regime blames other countries for fermenting the dissent that's going on domestically.
And yes, for people that really don't understand what's been going on there domestically in Iran, I wonder if we could just take a couple of minutes to talk about all the dissent that was going on in the past year. As I understand it, it all started with the case of a young girl who was supposed to be wearing the traditional garb, and she was caught out in public without it being properly secured. Too much of her face and head were showing, and so the morality police came and arrested her. And unfortunately, she passed away. And then there was this wave of discontent and unrest there. But there was quite a crackdown, right?
Yeah, that's a very good description of what's happened. The thing that's really important to understand, this is not something that just all of a sudden snapped. There's been discontent in Iran for a very long time with this regime. And it's not just from women. I mean, definitely they're a constituency in the country that really does not like this regime, particularly younger women, urban women. They look at this regime as very oppressive. They look at the regime as stifling any chance they have of having a meaningful occupation or just, you know, mattering in their country. They're kind of invisible. So that's one group that's definitely very upset with this regime, but there's other people who are very upset with it, and it includes young men, and even includes older men who are unhappy with the regime because of the lack of democracy, but also just because this regime doesn't provide basic needs. There have been serious problems in Iran with water supply, electricity, jobs, inflation, all these kinds of things. So there's a lot of pent-up anger at the present regime that has been met not with reforms, not with really competent policymaking, but has been met with repression. And so this is a multidimensional set of grievances that are driving these protests. And I think one of the things that's important to keep in mind is this is another wave of protest, and many protest waves that have been taking place in Iran over the last, say, 20 years. But this one, while it did really get catalyzed into its biggest form because of the death of this young woman that you're talking about, these protests have started earlier than that. They've been going on for months even before that happened. They just got bigger because of the death of the young woman in the hands of the morality police, as you said.
On the line with me right now, Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler from the University of Akron. He is a professor of political science and director for their Center for Intelligence and Security Studies. Now, here's a question for you, Dr. Kaltenthaler, and this may be a little bit out of left field, but I thought about it when I was watching that brand new Top Gun movie. Have you seen it yet?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so it's all about the United States going over and doing a raid inside of Iran, which, as far as I know, like, wouldn't be legal for them to do. But okay, they do it in this movie, and then they come out victorious, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Along the way, they're killing Iranians in their own country. And I would imagine that would probably set some teeth on edge there in the regime in Iran. Was this a way for the U.S. government perhaps to normalize our idea of, oh, hey, we could have a war with Iran and that would be okay. We'd come out victorious. What do you think?
So are you asking if the movie would normalize the idea of going to war with Iran?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I'm not sure the movie is going to really change too many minds. I think for those of us who follow the region and follow U.S. policy towards Iran, the movie's not really showing anything that people don't think is a serious option that's being entertained by the present administration, but administrations before it as well, and probably administrations to come. The idea of a nuclear-armed Iran is just not something that the United States government, it doesn't matter if it's a Democratic administration or a Republican administration, is going to live with. It's just considered too destabilizing, too dangerous. No one trusts the regime in Iran. So it is a possibility, you know, with or without the new Top Gun movie, entertaining movie, by the way, but with or without the Top Gun movie, it is possible that the United States will engage in military strikes against Iran to try to knock out its nuclear capability. It's certainly not the first option. It's not an easy option to take. Obviously, it could lead to retaliation from the Iranians, but it is a definite possibility, and it may be us. It also may be Israel. Israel looks at Iran as an existential threat. If Iran gets nuclear weapons, that's definitely something that the Israelis will not just sit by and say, okay, well, that's an unfortunate development. We'll have to learn to live with it. They won't. They would definitely strike if we did not strike.
And that would obviously be a big problem in that region, the region where most of the oil that fuels the entire world comes from. You would not want to see that go up in a nuclear conflagration, obviously.
No, be it a nuclear war or a conventional war. I mean, it's more likely that if Iran looked like it was developing a nuclear weapon, you'd have a conventional strike from either Israel or the United States. Also possibly some kind of a joint strike carried out by the two countries together. But Iran would definitely respond using missiles. Iran has a lot of missiles, and they're getting more sophisticated every day. So their accuracy is very good. Their distance that they can be fired from and hit a target is very good. But they also have groups that we call proxy groups, groups that are in other countries that aren't Iranian but act on behalf of Iran because they kind of share their ideology. And those groups will strike. And we have a pretty good sense that Iran has actors within the United States who will probably strike. So one of the things that we really are concerned about, that if it comes to a shooting war with Iran, that Iran would activate those actors that it has in the United States to carry out terrorist attacks. So it would not be a cost-free option for the United States to strike Iran. It could lead to some pretty negative consequences. Having said that, the President of the United States is well aware of these things. You have to weigh Iran's retaliation and how much that would cost us with the idea of Iran having a nuclear weapon, which is, like I said, just something U.S. policymakers can't live with.
Wow, that's interesting. I did not know that we had Iranian sleeper cells here in the United States, but it sounds like there are.
Yeah, well, they may not be directly Iranian. They're Iranian proxies. But we do know that Iran has tried to, for example, assassinate people in the United States using people who they hired or people who are directly Iranian operatives. But then there are, like I said, these proxy groups. For example, Hezbollah, which is a Lebanese armed group, which we know has operatives in the United States, is very close to Iran, and we would think that they would act on behalf of Iran if Iran was attacked.
Wow. Well, very interesting. Thank you for taking time with us. Always welcome to have you here on the show. Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler from the University of Akron. I'm Jean Destro in for Ray Horner on 93.5 1590 WAKR.